Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys discuss the NFC and the AFC South, and Jeff vents about the Saints. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast, season three, episode three, getting ready to kick off the regular season. Nick and Jeff back with you as always. What's going on, sir?
Oh, not much. I mean, it was a busy week for me. My sister closed in her house, so that was exciting times.
That's awesome.
I became union president of my shop.
Hey-o. Humble brag.
So I'll chalk that up in the resume.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's life-changing sort of stuff that's happening around me, but I mean,
all right,
it's not something I'm not prepared for.
We'll talk after.
Absolutely.
All right. Fair enough.
Yep.
Well, good. So for those of you watching on YouTube real quick, I just want to give a quick shout out. We're like legit now, even though like we're legit. We got swag. I'm wearing one of our new shirts. Shout out to my sister, Jenna, who created this logo, secondary logo, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
But they came out great. We got some shirts. We got some hoodies.
Yeah. I got mine over right in the corner over there. I'll wear mine next week.
He's sporting his team for the breakdowns this week. Yeah, so that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, this might be the only opportunity I have all season for the Saints to wear this.
Yeah. 100% true. All right. Well, we kick off. We got some QB news, in the world this week, that we'll just go over real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco. Right. Officially named the starting quarterback in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of somewhat of a foregone conclusion.
Right.
And then Daniel Jones in Indy, who we'll get into actually in this breakdown.
Yeah.
And then the surprise was Dylan Tyrone. He got named the starter over Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. What was your take on that?
I mean... You just paid Trevor Lawrence a lot of money to be your quarterback.
I just made that up to see if you were paying attention.
Oh, whoa. Because I was like, Dylan Tyrone. I didn't look at that in my notes. But I was like, hey.
Oh, God, I couldn't resist.
Whoa, you had me like skimming through like my head right now. I was like, I looked at the depth chart earlier, Trevor Lawrence right there. And I was
Dylan Tyrone.
What happened over the course of like 3 hours?
I love, as a true professional, how you just went with it.
Yeah, I was rolling with it. I was like, I know you keep up with Twitter and all that stuff. I was like, he's got the alerts. I have no idea what just happened. I was like, whoa.
Oh, sorry. I had to. I'm sorry.
You got me.
There's no Dylan Tyrone. Doesn't exist. So I just want to throw that out there and give Jeff some crap to start their show. So
I thought Dylan Gabriel and like Tyrod Taylor just had a baby or something.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's taking over Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness.
No. Okay. Trevor Lawrence is very much still the starter.
I'm so stunned. Where do you stun that?
You handled it like a pro.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Let's jump into it. I couldn't resist. I just recently watched the video of when the Fox team did that to Rob Gronkowski last week, where they made up some tight end and they said that he was coming off the IR and they were like, Gronk, what's your reaction? And he like went on with it for like 30 seconds until they all started cracking up. And it was like one of the funniest clips. I'm like, man, I really want to do that to Jeff.
Well, you got me. It happened.
Oh, that was awesome. All right. Enough of that. Let's get into some real stuff. So again, as always, we are breaking down divisions as we lead up to week one. This is the third week of our breakdown, so we are going to go through the NFC and the AFC South. Are you recovered from that yet?
No, I'm still stuck on Dylan Tyrone.
That was hilarious. All right. So we are, again, NFC and AFC South. We'll go through each team. Any news that might have taken place, off-season additions, subtractions, coaching changes, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll give our predictions on where everybody's going to fall in the division. And then we'll also pick some players that you got to have on your fantasy team. Maybe you got to stay away from on your fantasy team. And then someone that we think could be a sleeper.
Right.
So we're going to kick off in the NFC. Tampa Bay Buccaneers to kick things off. They were 10-7 last year. They lost to Washington in the wild card round. Great game.
Yep.
They were part of Washington's magical run to the NFC Championship last year. Not a lot, in my opinion, has really changed in Tampa. I know they lost a coordinator. Liam Cohen went to Jacksonville, who we'll talk about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they still got all the usual pieces. They signed Hassan Reddick. The big thing that at least that I wrote down is that Tristan Wirfs, who's their really good offensive lineman, he is more than likely going to start on the physically unable to perform list due to some off-season knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one there just for offensive line play, quarterback protection, continuity as a whole. But what are you seeing here?
Right, yeah, this is still the team to beat in the NFC South. They've won that in the division for, 4 years in a row now?
Yeah.
It hasn't really been competitive for a while now. I mean, Baker Mayfield has made a home there. Todd Bowles has made a home there. It's been smooth sailing for the most part for Tampa Bay. It hasn't been really competition really for the division title there. But for the most part, it's the same crew coming back: Baker Mayfield, Bucky Irving at running back, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. It's a team that knows each other, that understands each other. They have a good feel for what the other is going to do. They drafted a first round wide receiver in Emeka Egbuka.
Yep.
So that's just Ohio State. Yep, Ohio State. So that should only improve their offensive output. I mean, this team was fourth in points scored last year. So it's hard to improve on that because the teams ahead of you are juggernauts already, like Detroit and Buffalo. So, but for Tampa Bay, I mean, the eye test is definitely going to be on the defense for me. What can you do to improve on that defensive end? For the most part, I think you are the class of the NFC South, but it's going to be how you perform outside your division that's going to determine how you really view yourself as a potential Super Bowl threat.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the last couple of years, they've been the beneficiaries of some pretty poor division play.
Mm.
No offense.
Yeah.
But I think this year it'll be a little different. I think the Falcons are going to be better, and I even think that Carolina is going to be a lot better.
Yeah.
So I think they'll have a little bit more of a challenge than they usually do. I still love Baker Mayfield. I love everything about him.
Mm-hmm.
The way he plays, the way he carries himself, the swag that he comes with.
Right.
I'd take him on my team in a heartbeat. Love Mike Evans. Like you said, the Emeka Egbuka signing or addition via the draft is going to be big.
Right.
I think that a Todd Bowles defense is always going to be right in your face. It's going to be blitzing. It's going to be causing pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there. And, you know, be curious to see what the offense is going to look like now that, you know, Cohen is no longer there.
Mm-hmm. Josh Grizzard, new offensive coordinator.
Who?
Josh Grizzard.
Okay. Distant cousin of David Tyrone. So, you know, what is that going to look like? How is Baker going to handle new play calls, new terminology, everything that comes with a new coordinator?
Mm.
So that's always something to look at as well.
Yep. I got nothing to add
with
them.
Same. Pretty straightforward with Tampa. So jumping into the Atlanta Falcons, they were 8-9 last year. They did have a chance to take over Tampa Bay the last week of the season. They needed them to lose and the Falcons to win. And neither of those two things happened. So they ended up missing the playoffs. Well, this is going to be our first full year of Michael Penix Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, overall, Atlanta should be a lot stronger of a team than they showed last year. Obviously,
correct,
we had the whole Kirk Cousins potential injury where he started. We talked about it a little bit earlier in our first episode about how he discussed an injury at his elbow and his shoulder area against the Saints, which kind of propelled him into that 4-week drought where he wasn't really the quarterback that we know Kirk Cousins to be. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential for Atlanta to improve upon what they can be. I mean, Michael Penix it's his team now. I'm looking at Kirk Cousins as like the biggest trade block person right there. I mean, that can definitely improve Atlanta's depth if they decided to move on from Kirk Cousins and you know, supplies somewhere that they don't have a lot of depth or strengths in. And I'm looking at their pass rush. They ranked 31st in sacks last year, only ahead of New England. So, I mean, used two first round picks this year on defensive ends, to get after the quarterback. Will they work out? I mean, we'll see. James Pierce Jr. seems to be a wrecking ball over there. He's coming out of Tennessee, and then a linebacker, Jalen Walker, out of Georgia.
Georgia.
So yeah. I mean, they've definitely addressed the need in ways. But I think they still have Kirk Cousins in their back pocket to kind of trade off and improve on an improving roster already.
Yeah, four out of their five draft picks were on defense this year. So you could just tell that that was a focal point for them. They also brought in Jeff Ulbrich, who was the D coordinator for the last several years with the Jets. Interim head coach last year didn't go great, but I mean, I don't really feel like there's arguing that he's a great defensive coordinator. And so I like what he is going to bring to the Falcons on the defensive side of the ball too. So I'm really high on the Falcons this year. I think that we already know about the weapons they have on offense. Penix has already said he's looking to get more guys involved. I'm blanking the tight end.
Kyle Pitts.
He made a comment after one of the training camps that, like, oh, you saw Kyle Pitts catching the ball. You're going to see a lot more of that this year. So it seems like he knows that Kyle Pitts was underutilized the last several years.
Right.
And, you know, look for him to potentially have a big year. If your quarterback's going out there and saying you're going to get the ball, I think you're probably going to get the ball.
Yeah, I can only hope so, because Kyle Pitts has kind of been a disappointment after being a first-round pick a couple of years ago. I mean, but still, they have Bijan in your backfield. You have Drake London as your number one wide receiver. Darnell Mooney, and then Ray McLeod is your number three wide receiver. I mean, they are stocked in talent there on the offensive side. With Michael Penix, I mean, he showed quite a bit last year, to me at least, that he is a capable NFL quarterback. My number one thing here now is Caleb McGarry, his right tackle, who protects his blind side because Penix is left-handed. He's bound to miss significant time, according to Raheem Morris, due to a lower left leg injury. So who fills in that void? Whether it's Jake Matthews, the other left tackle for Atlanta, whether he slots over to the blind side to protect the right tackle position, we'll see. But in order to keep developing Michael Penix, you definitely have to protect his blind side, and this is the way to go.
Yeah, you got to keep him upright, right? You got to keep him healthy. I mean, he does have a history of getting injured. So that's one thing I wrote down, is can he survive a full year? Because how many games did he play last year? Four or five at most, I think. So obviously not a full sample size, so that's going to be big. And to your point about, you know, the right tackle, it's going to be his biggest ally,
right?
You know, protecting his blind side. So we'll see what happens there.
Yep.
All right, Carolina Panthers, 5-12 last year. A lot of drama with them last year. I feel like, you know, obviously they started with Bryce Young, and then they benched him shortly thereafter, and then he came back. And quite honestly, I thought he looked like a completely different player, and they looked like a different team. They had so many, even though they still lost a lot of games. I mean, they took Kansas City to overtime last year.
Yeah. I mean, it was night and day for Bryce Young.
It really was.
I don't know what.
One of the few times I feel like we see that work out.
Yeah.
Where a guy gets benched and then he comes back and he's like a different player.
Yeah. Kudos to Bryce Young for taking the challenge and you know, taking that benching as a learning lesson rather than getting down and then your confidence is just shot. And then, I mean, we see it too many times where a quarterback doesn't gain the confidence again until he switches teams, and then you have to reinstill this confidence in him. But Bryce Young, I feel like he and Dave Canales have probably talked out their issues with one another and how Canales wants Bryce Young to continue developing as a quarterback. And, I mean, for Carolina, I think we can both agree that their Super Bowl aspirations are probably not a reality this year. But I think as long as Bryce Young continues developing and shows a lot more of what he did in the second half of the year than the first half, I think they're taking the step in the right direction. I mean, they drafted a wide receiver.
Tet McMillan.
I can't pronounce his full first name.
Yeah, but I think he actually goes by Tet.
Tet. Yeah, okay.
So thankfully.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Yep. But I mean they spent a first round draft pick last year on Xavier Legette. So that's just adding more talent to Bryce Young's coup that's going on in Carolina. So it's definitely, they're building the weapons that he needs to succeed.
Yeah.
And it's just about Bryce Young developing.
Yeah, I mean, all reports, and McMillan was already highly thought of, you know, going to the draft. And then when he got drafted, everybody said Carolina got a good one. And everything that you hear about what he looks like coming out of training camp is that this dude's going to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a big, tall receiver, Mike Evans comparison type guy. You know, just high point the ball, jump up and get it.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a tremendous weapon for Bryce Young.
Yep.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. There's always a team that goes from worst to first.
Ooh.
And I feel like if anybody could do it, this is the division to do it.
Right.
Just because it's just so wide open. There's always so like you, it seems like more often than not, the majority of the teams in the division are not good.
Yeah, I mean, if you can reach double digits,
I mean, shoot, yeah,
double digit wins, you have a good potential of at least being tied for the division lead there.
Yeah,
like we saw last year with Tampa Bay, they won the division with 10 wins.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited to see what Carolina does. I'm a big Bryce Young fan. I just think that the way he handled everything last year, like there were clips of him, while he was benched, still staying late, signing autographs for kids, telling them, you know, talking to them, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good, man. How are you? Like just being an overall good guy.
Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, the fact that he handled it so well and then came back and performed the way that he did, it's just a really good story. So I'm rooting for him, except for I think it's week 7 or week 8 when they play the Jets. but I think I'm excited to see how Carolina looks this year.
Right. Yeah. Even for a divisional rival, I am rooting for Bryce Young. He got put in a situation that he can't control, being the number one overall pick. I mean, not being the tallest guy either. He always has that against him. But to spin the way, spin things around in your favor, how he did last year, was definitely one of those stories that you can rally behind.
100%.
Yep.
All right. Last but certainly not least.
Oh, it's least.
The New Orleans Saints. 5-12 last year. And, Jeff, I'm just going to give you the mic.
Oh,
and
no.
And you can give us the official scouting report, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. Take your time.
Yeah, let's see. Well, this let me put it in perspective. Derek Carr, Ryan Ramczyk, and Tyrann Mathieu all retired this year. They're like, I'm done with this.
They'd rather retire than play for the Saints.
And I don't blame them. I mean, it's going to be a cluster this year. I think I'm feeling shades of Dan Campbell's first year in Detroit, where they didn't
one or two wins,
and that
yikes.
Yeah, I mean. You have Spencer Rattler and Tyler Shough competing as your number one quarterback. Kellen Moore hasn't announced a starting quarterback for week one yet. I mean, they're both young QBs.
What's your guess real quick? Who do you think? I personally think it's going to be Rattler.
Honestly, they both showed the same thing to me. They both had their highs. They both had the lows. They both look like they're not ready, to be honest with you. But Rattler's the second year guy, so you'd think he'd have the experience edge over Shuck. But I mean, he started what, like seven games last year for the Saints, and Saints didn't win any of them. I mean, there's some sort of. I personally would go with Shuck. If I was the head coach, I'd go with Shuck. Lean on the second round pick that you have and go from there. But I would definitely understand why you would go with Rattler. Maybe let Shuck develop a little bit more in practice. Maybe your offensive line doesn't play as well as you hope. And then if anyone's going to get hit, it's not going to be your rookie QB and shatter his confidence. But at the same time, he's a 26-year-old rookie. I think he turns 26 next month. So to me, I would go with Shuck, but that's just my opinion.
Real quick, tell everybody your fantasy football team name.
It's Oh No, We Suck Again.
We Shuck Again.
Yep.
Which I think is genius. Yep. Shout out to the Water Boy, right?
The Water Boy, yeah. Rob Snyder. Yeah. Rob Snyder's my profile picture on all my fantasy teams.
Absolutely love it.
So as soon as we drafted Tyler Shuck and I knew that's how they pronounced his last name, it was instantaneous. No thought whatsoever.
Genius.
Yep.
So I think this is going to be a year that we will see both quarterbacks multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think, like, we're not going to see Rattler play all 17. We're not going to see Shuck play all 17.
Yeah.
I just don't foresee that. Unless you and I and the majority of the world are dead wrong about the Saints.
Right.
I just think it's going to be that kind of year.
Yeah, I don't. They might strike lightning in a bottle somehow.
I mean, yeah, I hope they do for you, man.
Right. But at the same time, you look at their offense. I mean, their offense is consistent of Alvin Kamara. I mean, he's getting up there in age, but still, yeah. for a running back. But at the same time, there's a lot of tread in those tires as well. You probably have to manage him a little bit more than you would want. But at the same time, I'm not sure if we have capable backups at the running back position.
Cam Akers
got signed. Condre Miller hasn't really shown much of anything after being drafted. But at the wide receiver position, you have Chris Olave. Brandon Cooks got signed, and then you got Rashid Shaheed. I mean, you have some talent there to at least put up some points. The problem is obviously the quarterback position. Do you have the playmaker at the quarterback position to get the ball and spread the ball around to who you need to spread the ball around to, your playmakers?
And I feel like this team, if the season goes the way that you and I kind of both think it's going to go, Olave and Kamara are going to be names that you hear at the trade deadline.
Oh, absolutely.
And quite honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if you even hear it way before. If they're just miserable and hate how the season's going and they do what athletes sometimes do and throw a fit, it wouldn't be surprising to me if we're talking about those two guys pretty much all year until they get traded or until, you know, something happens.
Right. I'd be more shocked if it's Kamara because he's more like a fan favorite. He kind of knows where he's...
Olave is young enough to where he... I don't know if he really necessarily would care.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, Olave would probably be the first person off the board. He's probably the biggest trade chip that the Saints have, even more so than Kamara. But I mean, to me, it's going to be one of those seasons that's. And I mean, I hate to drag down Mickey Loomis because he brought us the Super Bowl, but at the same time, bro, stop extending people and you know, kicking the can down the road in terms of cap. Just let it sink. Rebuild and then come back stronger, you know, type of thing. But I don't know. I can go on forever, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a long year, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let's wrap it up. We will do, we'll pick our division winner, one and then 1 through 4. It's your division. I'll let you go first.
For standings,
correct.
For standings. So I want to be on the train where Carolina goes from somewhere down there to up. But I mean, I feel like Tampa Bay, and until they get dethroned in this division, I just do not have the confidence in any of these other teams to dethrone them just yet. Tampa Bay is winning this division in my standings. And I got Atlanta coming in second. I think it wouldn't take a lot to convince me that Carolina might finish on top of Atlanta, to be honest. They might underperform. Michael Penix might suffer an injury, but to me, Atlanta as it stands right now is second, and then Carolina, and then last, my poor little Saints. Yep, that's where I'm at.
So I actually have the Falcons winning the division.
Okay,
I think that for me, that was easier than deciding second and third.
Mm.
I really wanted to put Carolina number two.
Yeah,
I just couldn't do it. so I have the Falcons winning the division. Tampa, I still think. Are they going to have a wild card spot? Can you imagine two teams coming out of that division?
No.
Oh, my God. no. So, I don't know. And then Carolina 3, and then the Saints 4.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot more competitive.
Agreed.
Compared to previous years.
I even think, at the end of the day, like, all kidding aside, I think the Saints are going to be competitive, too. I don't think they're going to be, like, bag over your head, like, dumpster fire.
Maybe
like,
I'm just being very pessimistic.
I mean, there's nowhere because to go up, I'll tell you that.
Right, because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
I mean, the only wins we had last year was because Derek Carr was in the starting lineup. But at the same time, they're not bad. They're not bad at paper, but as we've seen in this league, it takes a quarterback to kind of stabilize your franchise.
You know what it is for me, honestly, real quick, and this is unfair because I have nothing to base this off of, and he's actually had a decent amount of success as an assistant and as a coordinator. I have zero faith in Kellen Moore. I just look at him and I see a bust, and I know that that's awful and that's probably unfair. But that's if you had the same situation, and I don't know who, insert whoever you want, someone who we would deem more competent, maybe I would have a different outlook. But for me, I don't know why, man. And I'll be happy when we sit here in December or January if I'm wrong and I say Kellen Moore is awesome. But I just don't see that.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints, I think, were the last team to fill in their
dead
head coaching.
Last. Yep. Dead last.
To fill in their head coaching position. I mean, part of it was maybe waiting for Kellen Moore, but I feel like there's a lot of reports out there that other coaches just did not want this job.
Agreed.
They did not want to go into the situation.
Didn't
where
Mike McCarthy pass on it?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's like I said, Mickey Loomis has put him in a position financially where they're not going to sign up a lot of free agents.
or at least game-changing free agents. And then obviously you have your quarterback position that's not a ideal situation for any head coach to come into. So maybe Kellen Moore might be a bridge head coach into something else. Or maybe he's just there to develop a quarterback and see if you can make a, you know, copper and a gold type of thing with Shuck or Rattler.
Yeah. All right. We will do our fantasy pick. So again, for each division, we pick someone that you got to have, someone who think you could make or break your team, somebody that you're staying away from that you have zero hopes for this year, and then a sleeper, somebody that you think could be sneaky good that you could maybe get later in the later rounds as you're filling out your team.
Right.
I will kick it off this time, and I'll be totally honest. I struggled with the must-have. I don't necessarily, for me, think that there's like an absolute must-have. I wrote Bijan Robinson for the running back for Atlanta, just because I feel like if anybody's going to have a breakout year, it's going to be him.
Right.
I really struggled with the must have.
Yeah.
Stay away. I'm staying away from Chris Olave. I don't, you know, for all the reasons, I'm not going to pile on, right? For all the reasons that we just talked about, you got to prove it to me first. You got to prove it that somebody competent is going to be able to consistently get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm staying away from him. And then my sleeper is Tep McMillan. The receiver from Carolina.
Yeah, I actually wrote the same thing for Tep McMillan. Yep. Yeah, that was my sleeper pick as well. I mean, with Adam Thielen there, who
may or may not get traded.
Yeah, and he's an aging wide receiver. Tommy Tremble's your tight end, and Xavier Leggett is last year's first round pick. But
and the only other guy they have, they signed they signed Hunter Renfrow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. that's literally it.
Yeah, Tep McMillan has every opportunity there to be the number one wide receiver in perhaps a more of a pass happy attack than we anticipate.
Yeah. Oh, I think so too.
Especially under Dave Canales. So yes, I agree with you. Tep McMillan is. I also put him down as my sleeper.
Okay.
Must have. I mean, like I'm with you. I struggled with this, and I thought about it. I mean, I'm not going to sound biased, but at the same time, I put Alvin Kamara simply because of the quarterback situation. I feel like there's going to be a lot of checkdowns coming in.
I
feel like your offensive line is going to be more focused on the run. I feel like you're going to have to be a running team if you're New Orleans to kind of settle down the quarterback situation and settle down the clock for your defense. So Alvin Kamara is my must-have.
Okay.
I think he'll just have the opportunities. And my stay-away, I think you're going to hate me for this one, but I have Mike Evans.
Wow.
Yeah, I know he's got, 12 consecutive years of
1,000 yards.
Yeah. And, I mean, I know he's Baker's boy. But with spending a number one first-round draft pick on a wide receiver, let's see who else. They also have Chris Godwin. They re-signed him. And then Jalen McMillan, who was, last year's first-round pick. He had, 7 touchdowns in 5 games to end the year last year. It almost becomes way too many weapons in order to sustain what Mike Evans has been doing there in Tampa Bay. Maybe he'll get the yards, but at the same time, I don't think he's going to get those touchdowns anymore that he was receiving in previous years. So that makes him a little bit more fringe-worthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't hate that.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, that will wrap up the NFC South, and we will jump over to the AFC South, and we will kick it off with the Indianapolis Colts. They were 8-9 last year. The big move here is we already talked about it. Daniel Jones being named the starter over Anthony Richardson.
That's crazy.
I know. But you also kind of saw the writing on the wall when the money that they gave him.
Yeah.
And I don't have the contract in front of me, but he's making way more than Richardson. He's making way more than backup money. Let's just put it that way. So I feel like Richardson would have had to come in and just absolutely blow people away in training camp. And he just didn't do that. Like, there were quotes from coordinators and people with the Colts this year saying, like, look, we've done our best. We've tried everything we can. And, you know, they're saying, of course, you know, so has Anthony. So has Anthony Richardson. But it just hasn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
I personally don't think he'll ever recover from taking himself out of that game last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think when all is said and done, like, that was the moment where he lost the locker room and maybe even the support of the coaching staff.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to spend what you did on Anthony Richardson, top what,
top five? I think pick? It was a five, the fifth
yeah.
pick.
Yeah, and to abandon him in what, year three now? It's a tough pill to swallow for Indianapolis, especially when your plan B is now Daniel Jones, who's now your plan A. Obviously, we know how his tenure in New York kind of ended, but it is what it is. I mean, this might be a transition year for Shane Steichen and the Colts. I mean, last year they weren't really productive on offense or defense. Points per game, they were 17th on offense, 24th in defense. They have a lot of room to improve on both ends of the field. And it's just hard for me to see any positives coming from the Colts at this point. To me, this signals a hard reset. But I mean, it's just about developing your young guys at this point. I mean, they spent a first round pick on their tight end Tyler Warren.
Yeah, who literally just fell to them. He was like the 13th or 14th pick. Everybody thought he was going to go top 10, be the first tight end taken, and he wasn't. And so that was a good pick for them. But
right, yeah. And then I mean, they still have Quentin Nelson there at guard. I mean, you're all pro, very you know, household name sort of guard there in Indy. So, I mean, they have pieces. It's just about understanding and filling in the roles that you need to, especially important roles such as quarterback position and such as maybe filling out the wide receiver corps behind Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, Josh Downs and Allie Pierce have done their fair share of catching passes there in Indy, but at the same time, are they capable of putting up points? Being ranked 17th last year, I think you have room for improvement there.
And Alec Pierce is a name that you're hearing a lot, potentially either being a cut or a trade.
Mm-hmm. So it's I think it's grim days for Indy this year.
Yeah, agreed. Yep. I agree. Another team I think has grim outlook is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm.
4-13 last year. It was really, for me, a shock.
Dylan Tyrell.
Last year, I think I picked them to win the division last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So not my best take there. obviously, the big thing here, or a couple things really, they brought over Liam Cohen as their new head coach from Tampa Bay, and then they traded up and drafted Travis Hunter, the dual threat wide receiver and corner from Colorado. So that was the two big things here for Jacksonville this year.
Yeah, I mean. Oh boy, Jacksonville. I mean, I even wrote their QB death, and I mean, you still got me with that whole stuff. Oh my goodness. Trevor Lawrence and Nick Mullins are the QB deaths. I was like, when did they sign this guy, and when did he play preseason? When did he win that job? Oh my goodness. But I mean, hey, this is what, year two or three into the new deal for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, at least. I think it's year two or three.
I feel like it's two, but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know. But at this point in time,
he's the most overpaid quarterback there is.
Yeah, there's no doubt on that one. I think Jacksonville was definitely starved for a QB to come their way, and when they drafted Trevor Lawrence, I think they definitely sank their claws into that, and for better or for worse, they made up their minds that this was going to be their QB for the next 10 years. So they gave him a deal, a very lucrative deal, and unfortunately, it just has not panned out for him in the way they wanted. I mean, they're definitely surrounding him with weapons, with Travis Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr. last year.
Had a phenomenal rookie season.
Yep. So, I mean, as I write these things down, I always, at the end, I write concerns. And I looked at this and I was like, I almost wanted to put yes, just because everything's a concern. But yeah. I ended up putting I don't know, because I don't know where to begin. This team is just, I feel like they're just all over the place. And they have positions filled here and there, you know, maybe a playmaker here, maybe at the safety position, they'll cover some of it. But at the end of the day, I feel like there's no real scheme or continuity or any semblance of an identity for this team that I can even argue for.
Yeah, I mean, Cohen just got there, right? So he's got some time. But I wrote down, I think this is a make or break year for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I think that this year is going to determine if Jacksonville then focuses on getting a new quarterback.
Yeah.
So I really think this is a big year for him. And this is really the first year that he's coming off missing significant time due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, towards the end of the season, he got absolutely obliterated.
by the dude from Houston. I don't even remember his name. And then he ended up having off-season surgery as well. So he's definitely he hasn't had a full off-season where he's been completely healthy. Mm-hmm. So that's something to take a look at as well. They do have the running back question. Is it going to be Tank Bigsby? Is it going to be Travis Etienne? Who's going to be the starting running back? Because Etienne, who started out the first couple of years having a great production, mm-hmm. kind of fell off a cliff last year. Right. And Bigsby kind of took over as the lead back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bigsby is more traditional running back, north and south. Is it going to really try to, you know, try to dance around you? Whereas Travis Etienne, I feel, is kind of maybe for worse, is becoming more like a third down back sort of identity profile, where he can't catch the ball. It just depends whether he can run the ball effectively, especially with an offensive line for Jacksonville that just does not seem to be NFL starting caliber, to be honest with you. It's rough for Trevor Lawrence as well, because he's getting absolutely shattered in, yeah. I feel like, every game, and also for the running game. I mean, without an offensive line, you can't do much on offense, and I feel like that should fall more on the GM for not being able to establish an offensive line there for your franchise quarterback.
Well, it's like everybody gives, and I don't remember who the GM was at the time. I can promise you he's not the GM there now, but mm-hmm. When the Colts drafted Andrew Luck,
yeah,
he got absolutely smoked, yep. like his first 2 years, yep. because he had zero offensive line.
Yep.
And everybody to this day says that was like the biggest malpractice from a front office executive.
Yeah.
Because you had a generational talent, literally made the dude retire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was getting so injured.
Yeah.
And in so much pressure. So.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk about it. You build through the trenches. That should be
it's
your
not
first.
Sexy, yep. But it's important.
Yep. It's like, your first priority. Every single GM should know this.
Yeah. The Jets the last 2 years have drafted offensive linemen. And while it's been in the first round, and while it's been super boring, mm-hmm. everybody's saying they might have a really good line this year.
Right.
So it takes time, but it's worth it.
Right.
All right. We will jump over to the Houston Texans. 10-7 last year, and what a lot of people consider like a sophomore slump year for CJ Stroud. I mean, if you're 10-7, you get to the divisional round. That's not too bad of a season by my standard. They ended up losing to the Chiefs on the road in the divisional round. They made a lot of moves this year, as I was writing some stuff down.
Oh yeah.
They drafted both receivers from Iowa State who were kind of like a dynamic duo. Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, both phenomenal talents. Iowa State had a really explosive offense last year because of those two guys, and they brought them both in. Mm-hmm. They added Christian Kirk, mm-hmm. who was a playmaker in his own right.
Yep.
And then they also added on the offensive line Trent Brown and Cam Robinson. Mm-hmm. And then Sheldon Rankins on defense.
Yep.
So they did a lot, and I think that they're going to be really good.
Yeah, no.
Quite simply, I think they're going to be good.
Right. I mean, Houston is definitely. I mean, these two divisions kind of line up kind of equally in a lot of ways. I mean, Houston and Tampa Bay kind of go hand in hand right now. This is definitely Houston's division to lose for quite some time. I mean, we said the same thing when Jacksonville won the division, and we were like, this is Trevor Lawrence's division to lose for the
100%.
Next. And then all of a sudden, CJ Stroud came along and just said, whoop, nope, that's mine. And I mean, last year, CJ Stroud had a down year compared to his rookie year. The biggest question for me for Houston is, what Stroud are we going to get? Are we going to get rookie season CJ Stroud, or are we going to get sophomore slump CJ Stroud? But I mean, you added Nick Chubb on the running back front right there. You still got Nico Collins. Tank Dell is going to start off in the pub, but I mean, he should be expected to at least make some sort of comeback effort there in Houston. And then, like you said, they drafted the two wide receivers from Iowa State. So CJ Stroud definitely has the weapons around him to get out of that funk that he had last year. They definitely put up a competitive matchup last year. I mean, in the playoffs, I mean, they beat the Chargers and they lost to Kansas City. But to me, at least they were competitive in those games. But to me, I think this regular season is more of a warm up for them in order to really define themselves as what a team they are come playoff. They need to pass the hump of either that's Baltimore, Buffalo, or Kansas City.
The second round, really.
Yeah.
Their goal needs to be the championship round.
Yeah.
They've gotten to the divisional round 2 years in a row.
Yep.
And so now they gotta get over that hump. And I mean, everything that we're you know, talking about on paper, they made their best effort to do that.
Yep.
I'll be curious to kind of see the running back split, because like you said, they signed Chubb, but Joe Mixon had an amazing year last year.
Yep.
And then they also still have Damian Pierce.
Yep.
So it's kind of three very talented backs. You know, I have heard that Chubb looks a little slow so far in camp, and his cutting ability has not been terrific.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that'll kind of just work itself out. I don't know, but that's something to look at as well with Houston. And like you said, with Tank Dell, and quite honestly, even Nico Collins, like they're one of the biggest reasons their offense was, I guess I'll just say, flat last year, is because they did have a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And so that did not help them at all. And so hopefully this year that won't be an issue for him. And I think Stroud has proven he's a stud. You know, their offense is going to be dynamic. And so I'm excited to see what this team does. And they, by all accounts, really don't have any competition in this division.
Yeah, not. I can't name any of the other teams really putting up a threat. Right. Like, unlike the NFC South, where we can see three teams maybe competing for the division title there.
I got 1.5.
1.5 here?
1.5. And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then that other half for me is the Titans.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
I think that this is going to be, I don't think they're going to win the division, but this is going to be the team with the big turnaround this year.
Yeah. I
3-14 last year, obviously worst record in football. They used that number one overall pick to draft Cam Ward, the quarterback out of the University of Miami. And everybody that you talk to, anybody that you listen to on sports radio says that they got the guy. Like he is the guy. And they already had a ton of weapons around Will Levis last year. And I think that they only got better. They added Tyler Lockett. They added Van Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
They still have Tony Pollard running the ball. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Tony Pollard. Yep.
Yeah. So I think this offense could really do some stuff. And so I'm excited for what they look like.
Yeah, no, I mean, Cam Ward to me has looked nothing but like the truth there in Tennessee during this preseason. He's put up the numbers that you wanted to see out of your number one overall pick, your new face of the franchise, your franchise quarterback for the next 5 years.
He gets in there every day at 4 a.m.
Earlier than that.
Every single day he gets in at 4 a.m. to either work out or watch tape.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's the sort of dedication and mentality you want your quarterback to have. I mean, that's the example you want for your other 52 men on your roster to exemplify. I mean, Cam Ward is kind of like that silent leader. I feel like you don't hear him in the headlines too much. He doesn't really say much like that's newsworthy or anything, but at the same time, I love that, to be honest with you.
Like, 100%. Like,
don't make it about yourself. Don't go out there drawing headlines. And
my favorite leaders that I can think of as far as sports wise, are the quiet lead by example type. I'll give you two right off the top of my head: Derek Jeter and Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
No, neither of them say anything, right? They're very quiet,
right?
But they just do what they need to do, and they lead by example. And I think that, to your point, Cam Ward is going to be that type of guy.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I am very excited for Tennessee and what they're going to prove. I mean, to me, this is more of a Brian Callahan test year.
100%. That's what I was going to say next. Is, again, you know, Ward's not on the clock, but Callahan might be.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because if anything happens that's to Cam Ward or anything, that if they don't compete, at least, you know, I think Callahan's definitely in the hot seat right now. I think he might be the first coach fired if they do not compete. And they at least have to come out and show some gutso and for Callahan to keep his job. And I think they will.
I
really do. But like you said, Tyler Lockett, Van Jefferson, they're building around Cam Ward, as they should.
They're building his offensive line too. They brought in two guys, Kevin Zeitler, who's been in the league a long time, a name that most everybody knows, and then Dan Moore Jr.
Yep. Two big offensive line pieces.
Yep.
That, you know, like the same thing we just talked about with Jacksonville, how they don't protect Trevor Lawrence. They're making sure that they do the opposite of that in Tennessee.
Yeah, they're revamping their whole offensive line. So kudos to them to recognizing the issues that they have. And I mean, they still have Nkunkwo there, tight end too, who had some very big games last year for Tennessee. So to me, I'm excited for the Titans this year. Will they challenge Houston for the division title? I don't think they're. I'm ready to proclaim anything of that sort just yet. But I think they definitely have the upper hand over Jacksonville, and a little more so than over Indy.
Yep. Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed. All right. We will wrap up this episode by doing our division standings and our fantasy football picks. I'll kick off the standings this time. Mm-hmm. So I have the Texans number one. I don't think that that's really a surprise.
Yeah.
I do have the Titans number two.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to finish in second place. It would not surprise me if they're in that 8 or 9 win mark hovering around a playoff spot. It really would not.
Right.
At all. Three. This was harder than picking first and second was picking third and fourth.
Uh-huh.
I have the Colts three and the Jags four.
Same exact thing.
Okay. Yep. Awesome. Love it.
Yep.
Easy enough.
Easy enough.
All right. And then we will wrap up with our fantasy football picks, and I will let you kick it off.
Yeah. So my must have is literally the same logic that I had in terms of Alvin Kamara, and this is Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
Literally, I don't trust Daniel Jones to be, you know, lead a pass happy offense sort of thing. I mean, you still have a somewhat formidable line with Quentin Nelson there in Indy. So Jonathan Taylor, as long as he remains healthy, he's my must have. Stay away. I actually have Travis Hunter on this one. I
almost put him.
Did you?
I almost put him because I think there's so much hype around him.
Yep.
And from everything I hear, he's a better corner than he is a receiver.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, to kind of like split your time in the locker room, in the wide receiver and the cornerback room is something that's not really heard of.
And he's so dang tiny.
Yeah.
Like there's no way he's not going to get injured.
Yeah, and I don't think he's ready for the dual role. Maybe eventually when he gets a couple years under him, maybe he'll get there. But as of right now, if what they view him as is a playmaker, to me, two things happen. Obviously, we talked about the offensive line issues. I don't know if he's going to have enough time, Trevor Lawrence, that is, to find Travis Hunter. Maybe a little bubble screen here and there. But, I mean, if that's going to be your offense, I feel like defense are going to pick up on that real quick. I mean, even leaning be hesitant about drafting Brian Thomas Jr., to be honest. And, yeah. and that hurts me because I love Brian Thomas Jr. I drafted him last year, and he carried me for the most part of my year in my wide receiver corps. But that's where I'm at. I'm staying away from Travis Hunter.
Okay.
And then my sleeper pick is Okonkwo.
Excuse me, who?
Chig Okonkwo.
Okay.
The tight end there in Tennessee. But, I mean, Cam Ward. We'll see if he develops a little bit of a relationship with his tight end, as we say, possibly every week. Your quarterback's best friend is a tight end. Obviously, Tyler Lockett, Van Jefferson, and Calvin Ridley there in Tennessee do provide some sort of help there in wide receiver, but I'm not exactly convinced that that's number one. Any of them are number one wide receiver worthy. And to me, anytime you don't have that number one upper echelon wide receiver, that just leaves more opportunity for the tight end to be more effective in the passing game.
Okay. I like it.
Yep.
So I got to have Nico Collins.
Yeah.
He's a bona fide number one. He's a star.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really like him because, like, if you're projecting where guys are going to go, he's not going to go in the top 10.
Yeah.
So he's a second round pick. So if you use that logic and you feel really confident you can get him in the second round, that means you go after one of the big running backs.
Yeah.
Or you know what? If you fancy two wide receivers, stock up on and you'll get two bona fide wide receivers. But regardless of your strategy, Nico Collins, he's a game changer.
Right.
He's a guy that I'm going to be targeting for sure. I'm staying away from Travis Etienne. We already kind of talked about him. He's also a name that you're hearing could potentially be traded. I've heard him as one of the guys that Kansas City's looking to grab. So who knows if he'll even be in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that Bigsby is going to have a better year and a more consistent year than ETN. And then my sleeper is Calvin Ridley, in Tennessee. And quite honestly, I would not have said this, but I watched some highlights of
one of their preseason games, and literally, I'm not exaggerating, every single throw Cam Ward threw to Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
He's so looking. He's 100% looking, and you know, it's preseason, so take that for what it's worth, but right. Ridley had a great year last year with Will frickin' Levis. So I am really excited about his potential with Cam Ward. He's going to be a guy that, like,
yeah, he
fifth,
is.
Sixth, seventh round, like, I think he's still going to be there,
yeah.
And he'd be a great, great value pick.
Yeah, no, I mean, he has all the potential. I mean, he showed a lot of flashes there in Atlanta during his early years, but obviously Julio Jones was still there. But yeah, Calvin Ridley has every opportunity to also be the number one option there in Tennessee, and to really turn this corner for Tennessee. Cam Ward needs to turn it on, and if he's going to look for someone and it's going to be Ridley, I mean, there's a lot of potential there. I agree with you.
Yeah, awesome. All right, well, that wraps up the NFC and AFC South. So we have one pair of divisions left, 1 week left for our breakdowns before we get into the real thing. So make sure you tune in next week. It's going to be a full episode because we have NFC and AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
We have our conference picks. So we'll pick the four division winners. We'll rank them 1 through 4. We'll pick our three wild card teams for each conference. We'll do our Super Bowl predictions. And then we will do week 1 picks. So we'll do our lock, our upset, and our game of the week.
Oh, absolutely.
So we got a full episode next week. So make sure you tune in because it'll be fun as always. Maybe I'll throw another fake name out there and see how Jeff handles it.
We'll get that scouting report for Dylan Tyrone.
Yeah. Go look up Dylan Tyrone's film. It's going to be great. But,
it's going to be great.
Hope you guys enjoyed, and we will see you next week.
Peace.
We want to hear from you. Send in your questions, comments, and frustrations weekly to give the guys something to talk about. Make sure to follow us on our social media pages, and thanks for listening to the What Do They Know podcast.